Turn with me, if you will, to this week's Torah portion. Yes, because this was the first day of Sukkot, depending upon how you count it. Might have been yesterday or might have been the day. Well, I guess I could say yesterday now because we're in the Erev time frame here, just barely getting dark. But anyway, first day, the first High Sabbath or a cooking Sabbath or the day of no traditional work. Anyway, that marks the first day of Sukkot. So we're thankful for that, this wonderfully joyful period of the year. And, of course, as you might suspect, the standard Torah readings have to do explicitly with Sukkot. Runs from, and I never did say where to turn with me to, did I? Chapter 22 of the book of Leviticus, towards the end, verse 26. We'll start there, and it runs through most of chapter 23. And this, of course, is a reprise of the major set-apart holy days of the year. And we'll go through that in just a second, but as I was thinking about it and realizing this is kind of a short portion anyway, one of the things that I thought I would do is also take a look at some of the other places, of course, where we see this, and one of them that gets referenced, and I think it's particularly a neat place to start in this time frame, this evening, of course, is Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15, where we see another place talking about these high holy days or the holy days. And it says the following. Let's start with verse 13. I'm working my way up to the one that I want to get to. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, that's the English. I really prefer Sukkot, which means booths. It's interesting, of course. You may remember the old English word for sukkah or booth is a manger. Say what? Yeah, okay. So this is the Feast of Mangers, and if you step back and ask, why is it that there was no room at the inn? It's because this was one of the Feasts of Ascension, the final one of the year, when men were coming from all over the land to go to Jerusalem. If you remember, about 2,000 years ago or a little bit more, and they would stay in sukkahs, in mangers, in booths. All right, we might come back to that concept because it's kind of interesting. You can relatively quickly go through the places in Scripture if you know where to look and prove reasonably accurately. There's a 6-month ambiguity, but I tend to think it was during the time of the fall feasts. In any case, if you look at the course of Abihu, the sequence of the priests and do the counting and see when each of the priests would have served, you can come up with the time when it would be that the cousin basically of Yeshua would have been in the temple, and when the baby would have kicked in the womb 6 months prior and so forth, and then just add the 6 months and come up with, yep, he was almost certainly born during this time, during the Feast of Mangers or Booths in the land, and all of the pieces fit together. It was too hard, too cold in December for anybody in the way of shepherds and sheep to be out watching over their flocks by night, but not this time of year. All right, back to Deuteronomy here, chapter 16. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, 7 days when you've gathered from your threshing floor and from your wine press, and you shall rejoice. Chag Sameach, that's that word, rejoice, a feast that is joyful. May you have one. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to Yahuwah Eloheka in the place which Yahuwah chooses, because Yahuwah your El will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands. Now here I'm going to depart from the New King James. It says, so that you surely rejoice. I actually think there's an interesting teaching that goes with this, and this is the reason why I wanted to start with it. It's a Rashi-ism. He looks at the Hebrew here, and I won't go through all of that, points out that the way that the word is used, and the word that is used is kind of unique, and it can be translated a couple ways. I'm not wild about you will surely rejoice, but it does say you will be happy, you will be joyful, or you shall be joyful. The question is, which is it? Will be joyful or shall be joyful? And the claim is, well, the shall be joyful sounds more like a command. What Rashi says is the use of the word, and you compare it to the other places, is you will be joyful, you will be happy. In other words, I love this, it's a promise. Do these things, and you will be happy. You will be joyful. It's a wonderful promise, too. Three times a year, says the next verse, and this is the final of these Feasts of Ascension, as they're sometimes called. All of your males shall appear before Yahuwah Eloheka in the place which he chooses. First one, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then the Feast of Weeks. And finally, this one, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And we are, it says here, not to appear before Yahuwah empty-handed. Each man shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of Yahuwah Eloheka, which he has given you. So it's not just a time of being joyful, but it's a time to remember the blessings that he's given us, natural at the time of the harvest and the ingathering, and this time when, I guess, the ingathering leads us towards the contemplation of things to come, and that's really where I tend to like to focus this time of year. The idea that what we're doing is practicing. We're practicing for several things, not just the wedding feast to come, but also a time of regathering. What's the point of going out and spending some time in sukkahs? Sukkot is the plural, of course, of a sukkah, or of booths, or tents, or tabernacles. Well, the idea is to remind us about the first Exodus, when our great, 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 and so forth ancestors dwelled in booths and tents in the wilderness, and hopefully a lot closer to us on the near term end, a time when we too might be, hopefully will be blessed to be able to do the same thing, to be regathered from all of the corners of the earth and to look forward to this time of being in booths in transition. So may that be so. All right, with that, let's turn to the place that I started to say let's turn to anyway, starting at chapter 22, book of Leviticus, verse 26. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said the following. When it's a bull or a sheep or a goat and it's brought forth, it'll be 7 days under its mother, under the dam. But from the 8th day and thenceforth, it may be accepted for an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. And whether it's a cow or a ewe, you're not to kill it and its young both in the same day. When you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Yahuwah, you shall sacrifice it that you might be accepted. On that same day it's to be eaten. Leave none of it until the morning. Ani Yahuwah. And you shall keep my commandments and do them. I like to point out that's one of those verses that just appears over and over and over again. Keep my commandments. In this case, it's mitzvoti, my commandments, and do them. Ani Yahuwah. And you shall not profane my set apart name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. Ani Yahuwah. Who hallows you? And by the way, that word there is, it has the root kadesh in it. Mi kadish kim. I hallow y'all. And furthermore, he says, I'm the one that brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim to be your Elohim, Ani Yahuwah. So what we have there is an understanding of why. And I like to point it out, of course, these are not Jewish feasts. Nothing wrong with the fact that they are celebrated by a lot of people, remembered, and thankfully they did keep them and do them. But the point is, they're the feasts of Yah. And he's going to fix to tell us that right here. Let's not ever forget that. It's key. People will say, oh, do you keep those Jewish feasts? And the answer, I'd like to make it as clear as I possibly can. They're not Jewish feasts. They're his feasts. He says they ought to be my feasts. And it really is that simple. Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, chapter 23, verse 1, saying, here come the words in red, speak unto the children of Israel. Now, another place where I will just make a tiny distinction here, since we're going through this and we got plenty of time. The children of Israel, there were 12 tribes. Actually, if you count all of the variants, arguably a couple more than that. But all of the sons of Yaakov, children of Israel. We know later on there was a division, northern kingdom, southern kingdom, 10 lost tribes scattered. Many of us probably have blood from the 10 lost tribes in us. But we hope to be regathered. We can and are being grafted in. And even though we may still be in exile, the key is, no, this is not just Jews that we're talking about here. It's all coal of the children of Israel. And he says the following. And again, who's it addressed to? All of the children of Israel. Say to them, the appointed seasons of Yahuwah. There you go. Which you shall proclaim to be set apart, holy kadosh convocations. These, he says, are my appointed seasons. And the word there is moed, moedim plural, but moedi, mine. No doubt about it. And what's also interesting in this verse, and I always try to point this out when we go through it, it's an interesting change of perspective that we see in the verse. It says here, first off, tell the children of Israel the following, say to them, the appointed seasons of, it says the Lord in the English King James, well, we know what it really says, the appointed seasons of Yahuwah, but that's third person. So he says, the appointed seasons of Yahuwah, third person. These, however, you're to proclaim them to be set apart, Moedim, but they are my appointed seasons. And then we get the repetition of each and all of them, starting, of course, with the one that the church got rid of 1,700 plus years ago, declared to be anathema, and basically started killing people for keeping. 6 days shall work be done. 7th day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You are to do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath unto Yahuwah in all your dwellings. And I read that because we see it other places, in all your dwelling places, essentially in the land and even in exile throughout your generations. These, it says, are the appointed seasons of Yahuwah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their appointed season. And here we go. These are now the other six that are described here. So we have a total of 7. 3 in the spring, 3 in the fall, plus the one that's all year long, the 7th day Sabbath. Number 1 of the list of his Moedim, first month, 14th day of the month, just before the full moon, in other words, at dusk is the Passover, Pesach of Yahuwah. And on the 15th day of that same month, the very next day, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yahuwah. 7 days you're to eat unleavened bread. 1st day, you're to have a set-apart convocation. You do no manner of servile work. That's one translation. Or traditional work. And often, again, this is considered to be a cooking Sabbath. In other words, I won't try to tell people how to interpret this, but certainly there has been no shortage of commentary on it over the years. What's the difference between what we see for Sabbath, regular Sabbath, Saturday Sabbath, no work, no manner of work, and this one it says no manner of servile work. So clearly this is a less restrictive understanding, whatever it is. And you're to bring an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah 7 days. 7th day is a holy convocation. So 1st day, last day, holy convocation. Again, you shall no manner of servile work. Okay, so there's the first set. And then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said the following. Speak unto the children of Israel, again, the same group of folks, and say to them, when you have come into the land which I give unto you, or will give unto you, at the time, at least, it was future. Now it's past. And you shall reap the harvest thereof. Then you bring the sheaf of your first fruits unto the priest. So you bring this unto the Kohen. He shall wave the sheaf thereof before Yahuwah to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And the day when you do this, you wave the sheaf, you'll offer a he-lamb without blemish, 1st year, a burnt offering unto Yahuwah. And that word there, of course, is lifted up, burnt offering, olah, we're talking about. Meal offering thereof, 2 parts, 2/10 part of an ephah, of fine flour mingled with oil, made by fire unto Yahuwah for a sweet savor. Drink offering of wine, 1/4 of a hin. And you're not to eat any bread, nor parched corn, nor fresh ears, this selfsame day, until you have brought this offering of your Elohim. This is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. That's a phraseology that we see repeated over and over again when he wants to make the point that no, it's not done away with, and no matter what the whore church tells you, it's a lie. Understand that we are still supposed to be, if we want to be grafted in and part of the group to whom this is addressed, again, not just Jews, understanding that it is his feast and he is our Elohim in all your generations forever in all your dwelling places. All right, then you shall count from the morrow after the day of rest, from the day that you brought the omer, the sheaf of waving, 7 complete weeks. So now we're talking about those 50 days that are often called Shavuot. Even unto the morrow after the 7th week shall you number 50 days. 7 times 7, 7 weeks, plus the 1, and you shall present a new meal offering unto Yahuwah. Bring out of your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 part of an ephah, fine flour baked with leaven. With leaven at this point, we're past the time of the Passover, 4 first fruits unto Yahuwah. And you shall present with this bread 7 lambs without blemish the first year, 1 bull, 2 rams, they shall be a burnt offering, olah unto Yahuwah, with their meal offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. You offer a he-goat, 1 of them for a sin offering, and 2 he-lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of shalamim, peace offerings. The priest waves them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yahuwah with the 2 lambs, and they are to be set apart to Yahuwah for the priest. And then you make a proclamation on that self same day. There shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no manner, here it comes, of servile work. And this is a huchat olam. Yeah, we've heard the term before. Statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. We're going to get a few more things that have to do with these feasts coming up here. 7 days, you bring this offering made by fire. 8th day, we've already talked about this, no manner of servile work. These are the appointed seasons of Yahuwah, which you proclaim. Holy convocations, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. Burnt offering, meal offering, sacrifice, drink offerings, each on its own day. Besides the Sabbath and of Yahuwah, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings which you give unto Him. Okay? Now let's pause, because this is the place where I want to make sure we do a little bit of emphasis. Now we've talked about the first of the spring feasts and worked our way up to the final now of the Ascension, the Feast of Ascension, when the men of Israel would in fact go to Jerusalem. 15th day of the 7th month. That's where we are basically now. Feast of Sukkot, tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahuwah. Again, first day, and by our count at least, based on the sighted moon, that was today, just ended at sundown. That first day is to be set apart. No manner of servile work. Now we cannot do the offerings made by fire. We don't have the place where He has set aside His name, but we can certainly at least memorialize and do the other things that He talks about in here. It's part of the reason why I mentioned some of the other places in Scripture where we see slightly different understandings of how we look at this day. All right, back to verse 39. Howbeit, on the 15th day of the 7th month, yeah, we're there, when you've gathered in the fruits of the land, you to keep a feast of Yahuwah for 7 days. We've just talked about the first one. First day, a solemn rest. And, furthermore, on the 8th day, also a solemn rest. The 8th day and that final solemn rest will mark the end of this time of Sukkot. And now it's one of the things that you will see the sages talk about as the other commandment, one of which is to go out and spend some time in booths, and the other has to do with this one, verse 40. Take you, on that first day, the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees. Now, I'll admit, folks, in the boondocks of southern Colorado, this one is tougher. I know there's places, if you're probably in the city of Denver, you probably can find these things. As far as imports of the things that are commonly understood, what we can do is we can watch a movie. So we have a movie that we pull out. If you've never seen it, it's called Ushpizim, and it's about Ushpizin, yeah, okay, The Visitors. And it's slightly a comedy. It's made in Hebrew. It's comes from the land, but it's kind of interesting, and it gives people an insight into a little different look at this time of Sukkot, of Tabernacles. If you've never seen it, at least, it's a lot, it's a lot of, how do I say this? It's to people that have never seen The Fiddler on the Roof and never understood some of the things that you get a glimpse into the life of Tevye and his daughters and that. Well, it's very much different, but kind of similar in the sense that this is a whole different thing than most people that have been raised in 20th century America are familiar with. So back to verse 40 here. Take this fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook. These are called the four species, generally. Four different kinds of things somehow related to trees. Palm trees, willows, and you will hear the first one, the fruit of goodly trees, generally referred to as the etrog. And if I'm not let's see, is a citron exactly the same thing or just similar? I think the botanical types will say an etrog and a citron are similar, but not quite the same. But probably citron's about as close as you're going to find unless you go to a Judaica shop and get something imported from Israel. You shall keep it as a feast unto Yahuwah for 7 days in the year. It's a statute forever in your generations. Keep it in the seventh month. You shall, here comes the other commandment, dwell in booths 7 days. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths. Well, okay, so we're not homeborn in Israel. We're in exile. But again, and I'll probably talk about this more tomorrow, I think a lot of us are very much looking forward to this idea of regathering. And we know that by looking back and studying the things that happened and the time in the booths, in the wilderness, Bamidbar, we can get an insight into what happened then and perhaps relate to the things that our ancestors did. And at least as important, we can look ahead, because all of these feasts, as has been pointed out in the apostolic writings, are shadow pictures of things to come, things that I think many of us are prayerfully hoping we will live through and see, especially this idea of being regathered and spending some time in booths, it would seem. All of this is so, it says in verse 43, that your generations may know that I have made the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, to dwell in booths when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And here we get the signature. Ani Yahuwah Eloheka. I am Yahuwah, your El. And then Moses, it says in verse 44, the last verse in this reading tonight, declared unto the children of Israel the appointed seasons of Yahuwah. Literally, the Moedim, appointed times, not of the Jews, not just of the children of Israel even. These are his feasts, and he puts it that way explicitly. So let this time be a blessing, I pray, for all of us. Let it be a time for us to literally pray and ask, what is it that he would show us? And I think as I begin to kind of wrap things up, that is, to my mind, one of the most important things about the fact that we might not be able to keep these feasts. As we saw looking through here, we can't offer these various sacrifices, the korban, the shalamim, the things that are lifted up in the way of burnt offerings. We don't have the place where he's put his name. We're not in the land, still in exile. But we can, if we can't keep them, we can memorialize them. We can, we can watch a movie. We can understand. We can pray. And we can spend some time outside in the creation that he's given us. We can concentrate on the time of ingathering and the seasons and the things that are associated with the harvest of the land and the blessings that he's given us. One of the things about the booths that people will point out is oftentimes there's a little gap. There's a place where you can look through, if it's not raining anyway, and you can see the stars at night. And when we have camped out in tents, sometimes we've had a tent where you could peel back a portion of the rain fly and then be able to look out at the stars. And if it's not too cold, that's always a really nice, wonderful thing to do, I find. Whatever you do, do something during this week to try and memorialize, to try to get outside, to try and contemplate, think about, pray about the things that he's given us, the things that he is showing us in this time. And may he truly give us eyes to see and ears to hear, open our eyes to the things that he has for us to know during this season of his Moedim.